Hope you'll be back tonight, 6 p.m. Looking forward to a good service there. Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would speak to us in a powerful way today and really make us different. Church is not, and I know church many times is kind of just a place you go, and it's a place that's home and a place that's kind of a club, kind of a group where you get together and you feel at home with your people of like mind. But I think of church so much more important than that. It's a place to get your life changed, a place to be delivered, a place to get transformed. And so we want to be different. We want the Lord to speak to us. I want to talk today about why the coming of the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. Why the coming of the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. And John chapter 16, and I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I unto you that he shall take of mine and show it unto you." All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and why he is so important and why he's so wonderful in our lives. Father, we thank you for the honor of being in your house. Lord, a lot of people don't want people to come to their house, and yet you go and say, "Find the halt, the lame, the blind, the weak, the sick, the whatever, and bring into my house, that my house may be filled." And Lord, you love everybody, for God so loved the world. And Lord, you want your house full. Thank you, we can be in your house. You invite us there. It's a royal and special place where you are, where two or more are gathered. You're in the midst of them, where the Word of God is read, where the Spirit of God speaks, where we are transformed, Lord. And Lord, I think of all the years, all the messages where my life was greatly impacted, where I've seen people walk the aisle for salvation and people come to be transformed. And we thank you for the wonder of your house. And Lord, we don't want to be any different today. There's probably people here who don't know you as Savior. There's probably people here who do not know the Holy Spirit. People here who do not have the power of God in their lives. People here who need comfort. And we ask, Lord, that we would understand the Holy Spirit and why he's so important and wonderful and such a blessing to have in our lives. And I pray you'd speak to us now. I pray that the Holy Spirit and his power would move throughout this room in a great and powerful way. And we just claim your promise in Luke 11:13 that if we ask, you'd give him. We ask you to work now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was with the disciples, of course, 3.5 years. He started his ministry at 30, and the disciples, all of them, that whether a tax collector or a fisherman or whatever they were doing before, was instantly transformed to a full-time ministry person traveling with Jesus. At first, they just listened to him teach, but then they began to see miracles. They saw demons come and people possessed with demons, and they wouldn't, of course, they'd be like, "Ugh, that person's throwing himself into the fire. That person's foaming at the mouth. That person's attacking people, and no one can control him." And Jesus would speak the words and do certain things, and the demons would leave. You ever been in a situation where a situation started up, and you were glad you were the person who didn't have to deal with it? Whether it's the police showing up, or whether it's the boss who has to deal with that person, or whatever the situation is, you're saying, "You know, I'm glad you get to deal with that, not me." You do the Sergeant Schultz, and you say, "I know nothing." And you kind of look away, and you say, "You know, I'm glad that's not my deal." Well, the disciples saw Jesus deal with the demon-possessed, and then they got to feed thousands of people, and there's not enough food and not enough money. And Jesus takes the loaves and fishes and begins to hand them out, and they multiply. And just five loaves and two fishes, they feed 5,000 men plus women and children. They feed a lot of people. They're in the middle of a storm, and the storm's going to sink them, and they're fishermen, and that's their life, and they know we're done. And all of a sudden, Jesus steps up and says, all right, be calm. And all of a sudden, the waves stop, the wind stops, and everything's fine. And multiple storm stories where they had Jesus come and calm the storm. They come to the point where they don't know what to do, and they're in danger, and Jesus would do that. They have questions. And Jesus would teach amazing truths that would answer their questions. Somebody dies. Well, no big deal. Jesus could go and raise him from the dead. Here come some lepers, and you can't do anything for a leper. They got that terrible disease. And Jesus goes and heals them of the leprosy. Here's a lame man. He can't walk, and he feels terrible, and you see him, and Jesus raises him up, and he jumps and carries his bed and runs around, and another person's blind, and Jesus heals them, and no matter what the problem is, Jesus is there. Whenever they think dumb things and do dumb things, Jesus says, don't do that, that's dumb, here's the way to do it. And he's always right, and he always has the wisdom, and he always gives them the answers, and he always gives them everything they need. But when you got a guy who can raise you from the dead if you die, you're not too worried. You got a person who can heal any brokenness or any disease, boy, everything's pretty secure. When any spiritual disaster or spiritual problem comes, he has the knowledge and he knows, he's got the wisdom of heaven, it's pretty secure. When somebody is there who can take care of things, when somebody is there who can lead you, when somebody there who can take the responsibility, it's a pretty good thing. One of the things that usually happens in life is a funny little cycle where you go from, I want to be my own person. I know what I'm doing. I got it all in control. Let me go take care of life. I'm ready to go. I know what I'm doing. I know all about life. To going out and saying, well, my life's more hard than my parents' life was. Because they would never have to deal with anything like I'm dealing with. This is terrible. This is tough. To mom and dad, what do I do? This is terrible. To, I don't know what I'm doing. To seeking wisdom, hopefully at some point, and you start getting some wisdom, making the right decision. You find out that, and then all of a sudden, you want to be the boss. Then all of a sudden you're the boss, and you say, boy, give me hourly pay again, and let somebody else be in charge. Being in charge is not as fun as I thought it was. And many things in life where you thought you knew everything. And then all of a sudden you get, and as a leader and as a person in most of the areas of my life, I'm the leader. Listen, whenever I get in a position where somebody else is in charge, I sit back and say, ha, you got to worry about everything now. You have to worry about everything. You have to worry about payroll. You have to worry about fixing that problem. You have to worry about dealing with that person. You have to worry about, and you find out you don't know everything. And once you know everything, people come up with incredibly new ways of doing, being stupid and finding ways of questions that you don't have the answer for now. Humans are amazingly creative at being dumb, is any way to put that. And finding a complicated way to complicate with life and everything else. And it's great to have that security. It's great to have somebody always knows what to do. It's one of the hardest things people go through in their 40s and 50s because they didn't realize how much security their parents were until their parents start passing or losing it. And all of a sudden you found out, boy, my parents are a big security to me. And you find those things. Well, here's Jesus, who has all the answers, who is perfect, who does everything right, who always bails them out of their messes, who has anything that comes at them. He's there. He has all the answers of eternal life. He's fixed every problem. He's answered every problem. He knows everything about life and about eternity, and he can deal with anything that comes along. And all of a sudden, he comes to them and says, I'm a leaving, guys. And where I'm going, you can't go with me. And you think, they left everything, built their lives around him. But then he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed out. Don't be messed up. It's okay. Don't be troubled. I'm leaving you. But then he says, it's very, very, very important that I leave you. It's expedient. It's vital that I leave you. For if I don't leave you, the Holy Spirit won't come. And they're probably thinking, hey, I'd rather have you, Jesus. You're right here. You fix everything. You've been our security. When we need food, you can take food out of nothing. You don't need to leave. We're just fine with you. You're our security. You're our answer. But he said, Jesus says, no, it's I've got to leave because I've got to send the Holy Spirit. And if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit's not coming. So I've got to leave. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. You can imagine them saying, you know, what's so great about the Holy Spirit that you can leave us and we'll be fine? And that you need to leave so he can come. What is so great about that? And why is that going to help us? If you look at chapter 16 here, verse 7. Let's see. Verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It's necessary, because the Holy Spirit is not going to come to you unless I leave. And if I leave, you'll get the Holy Spirit. Wow, this is an amazing thing. First of all, the thing he starts off with is, why is the Holy Spirit so wonderful? Well, first of all, it's because he's an individual here. He says, if I don't go, if I depart, to the end of verse 7, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He is going to do these things. He is going to come. He is a person just like I am, Jesus says. Understand that the Holy Spirit is not a power, and Jesus is a person, and the Father is a person. There is one God with three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just as much a person as God the Father, as God the Son. He is a person. Yes, he's a spirit. He didn't indwell. He didn't become a body like Jesus did. He didn't come that way. But he is a person who's called a he who does things. You can grieve the Spirit. You can resist the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lusteth to envy, the Bible says. He has these great desires for our lives. He's a person with the full spectrum of emotions. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he is a person. So understand, you're not now getting some vague power, but I used to have this person named Jesus I could talk to. You now have the Holy Spirit, who is also a person. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit, but you need to start off with understanding he is God, just like Jesus is God. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, 1 John 5:7. The Holy Spirit is God, just like Jesus is God, just like the Father is God. God is a three-part creature. It's a triune God. There's a Trinity, just like human is a three-part creature, body, soul, and spirit. Part of us is a spirit inside of us. Part of us is our mind, our will, our soul, and part of us is our body. We are made in the image of God. God has a physical part, Jesus Christ. He has the soul that we pray to. When you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, and the Spirit, which is the spiritual part. And that is what talks to God and fellowships in the spiritual realm and communicates. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he's vital to come because he's a person who comes to live inside of you, and also because he lives in you. Look at chapter 14. Let's go back a little bit as Jesus is talking at the start of this conversation. See, instead of somebody being beside you, instead of me being walking with you, you're going to now have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And he says that you'll have him in you. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Notice a capital C there. The Holy Spirit's other name is the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He says the Holy Spirit's going to live inside of you. He continues on. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So he says, I'm going to live inside of you through the Holy Spirit. First of all, in flesh, Jesus would not always be with them. For example, Jesus was up on a mount praying. They were in a storm panicking. When Jesus was on earth, he was in one place at a time. He says, you were in situations where I was not with you. Sometimes I took three disciples and went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and the rest of the disciples didn't know what happened. I'm not going to be always with you in the flesh. When I leave, I will come again to you. When I come again to you in the form of the Holy Spirit, because I and the Spirit are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one in John chapter 8. Why? Because it's one God. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And it's the same person. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. At that day, verse 20, ye shall know that I am my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He says, I'm going to be in you, but it's going to be at the end of verse 17. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come again to you. I will send the Comforter. He says, it's not really me leaving. I'm leaving and I'm going to heaven to present my blood and my sacrifice to God. But you are going to have the Holy Spirit to come live inside of you. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave them at that point. That's what he says. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Understand, Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, when Jesus was on earth in the flesh, he couldn't be everywhere at once. But through the Spirit of God, once he leaves the flesh, he can now be everywhere. He can indwell any believer. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and if he lives inside of us, everywhere we go, he's going to be. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God, of the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in you? When you get the Holy Spirit, you now become the sacred temple of God. In the Old Testament, there was a place called a temple, and God would come down and dwell when he dwelt on earth in that building. That's where he dwelt. Sometimes a thick cloud would come and dwell in that building, and everyone had to back up from that building because that's where God dwelt. God says, you are now that temple because I'm going to dwell in you. What a sacred, amazing situation where your body, you, are now God's temple. You are now God's dwelling place because the Holy Spirit now lives in you. Now, in the Old Testament, before Christ was resurrected, it said that he dwelt on you. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Many, many times it says that. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And then in here in John 14, he says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but shall be in you. Once Jesus destroyed the separation between God and man by dying on the cross, the veil that was in the Holy of Holies that kept people from going into the most holy place in the temple where God dwelt, that veil was Christ's body. It was broken, and the veil split in half. And now we now have God dwelling in us, and we can go into the throne of God, and we are now the temple of God. And he dwells in us. And no matter where we go, no matter what happens in life, no matter what situation we're in, hey, now he's with us always. And you know, Jesus says, that's even better than me being with you here on earth. Because I'm not always going to be where you are. I'm now going to dwell in you through the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to live inside of you. It makes you the temple of God. You will have the person, a person now inside of you. You will now have a person inside of you. When you get saved, the Bible says in Romans 8, 9, if any man have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The second you are born again, you accept Jesus Christ, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's a wonderful thing. I didn't understand that when I got saved. I didn't understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Boy, God was drawing me and speaking to me, and I wanted the Lord, and I wanted to know I was going to heaven. And finally, that moment, I walked out there. I walked away from a campfire. I walked up, looked up to heaven, and I said, oh, God, I don't know if I understood all this before, but I want to be saved. I want you. Please save me. I accept Jesus as my Savior. And I knew right then I was saved. But I want to say, somebody took up residence inside of me. You ever know somebody's around you and you can't see them? You ever been in the building where you know somebody's there, you just maybe can't see them? You just know? You just sense it? Boy, I could sense when somebody came to live inside of me called the Holy Spirit. Whole bunch of things changed. First of all, I started getting this amazing hunger for the Word of God. Holy Spirit started saying, you need this. I started feeling convicted when I did wrong. I used to make a mock at sin and laugh about it before and do wrong things. All of a sudden, when I did wrong things, I said, hey, what's this guilt thing? Who's telling me what? Man, why do I feel bad about this now? That's the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you don't have that, if you can just freely sin and still make a mock at sin, I want to tell you, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And he doesn't leave and come and go. I need to get saved again. No, you don't. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, when you're born again, when you accept Jesus Christ, you become the temple of God. I understand you can quench the Spirit and you can get calluses on your ears and not listen. But I'm going to say at some point, you feel something different inside there, and it's wonderful because you now have a person living inside of you, and you now have him inside of you doing all that work. He comes inside and makes a big difference. You have a person inside of you, God the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, you take the Holy Spirit. That's great news. Or it can be very convicting. There are certain places you don't want to take God. Got a bunch of them right here on Pack Highway around us. For example, if you got God inside of you, everywhere you go, you're taking him. And that's why the Bible says, flee fornication. Don't you know your body's a temple of God? You're taking God into that wickedness. You're God's temple. And you got to be very careful in these things and realize the Holy Spirit, you don't have a person inside of you. Next, that person inside of you is the Comforter. That's his name. Listen, if I had to deal with the things that I've had to deal with, and I want to say this as a Christian, serving the Lord, I'll be honest with you, I have way more battles, way deeper attacks than I would have had I not been serving God. Now, I do not have the same hardships. I would be divorced multiple times. I'd be a mess. My life would be nothing but trouble. I'd have been in jail. I'd have been all kinds of problems. I already know where I'd have been. Very easy. All I'd do is watch people I was hanging around. I already know the way I'd have grown up. And my life, my friends' families are better than mine. And most of them ended up in jail and divorced and messed up and druggies. I would have been nothing. Now, I don't have the sorrow of the world. I don't have drinking problems, drug problems, anger problems, hatred problems, bitterness problems. I don't have all those things that the world brings you. I don't have all those things but I have spiritual battles. I have Satan pounding me. I'm not his friend. Treats you a little different when you're his buddy. But I want to say this. I can handle my problems 100 times better than if I had those other problems. Those other problems I'd be, if not suicidal, severely depressed or medicated up a whole bunch. I'm a pretty happy person. You know why? I don't even think, and I've thought about this a lot lately, I don't even think the Holy Spirit, I don't think you have to say, comfort me. What I find is a Christian who's filled with the Spirit just has more comfort. The comforter is already in you. When the Comforter is come, he is called the Comforter well over a dozen times in just two chapters. The Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter, the Comforter. I want to say when the Holy Spirit's inside of you, many times when you're really filled with the Spirit and you're close to the Holy Spirit and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, things will come and you'll say, why aren't you more upset? And you'll say, I don't know. Sometimes you'll actually try to get yourself more upset because you think, everybody thinks I should be more upset. Okay, yeah, I guess it's really terrible. I guess I'm not able to handle this. Panic. And because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, of course that's what the world does. They don't have the Comforter inside of them. Doesn't mean you won't have sorrow. Jesus in this chapter says, I've said I'm leaving you, therefore sorrow hath filled your heart. you're going to have sorrow, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow with the comforter inside of you says, oh, this is tough, but I'll make it. Thank you, Lord, you're with me. You just get a comforter inside of you, and you will be surprised. You will get profound thoughts that'll get you through it. It's called the Holy Spirit saying, this is why this happened, or this is why you'll make it, or this is what this is going to lead to, or this is why, or this is a good thought, or this is what's going to be the blessing from this. This is what you can learn from this. I had a conversation recently with someone who had tragedy in their life, and it was pretty bad, self-inflicted. And they went, and they told me they watched on Christian television, they saw how they had a line of people who all had terrible physical disasters. They're scarred from burns and limbs, lost limbs in war and things like that. They were all, you just looked at them and said, man, you were messed up. And every one of them in a row said, you know what? This happened for a reason. I thank God for this. God did this. God, this is something I wanted. I didn't want it to happen, but now I realize it was from God. And they're all very comfortable with peace. And this person that was telling me this, with their thing, they were very bitter about it. And it's not somebody in our church. And they're very bitter about it. And they said, those people don't even know what happened to them. They couldn't even conceive the comfort. If your face is scarred from burns, you know what happened to you. If your limb is not there, you know what happened to you. It's called, they don't know what it's like to have the comforter inside of you. You say, I'm saved, but I don't have much comfort. Well, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Not just let him dwell inside of you, but let him fill you inside. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And I want to say this. You can talk to your psychiatrist. You can go and try to think your way through positive thinking. You can try exercises and yoga and eating yogurt and whatever else you want to do. You can do all the things in the world you want to do. I just want to tell you, it's all just a medication. It's all just covering something up. You're not going to find real comfort without the Holy Spirit. The biggest comforter right now for this world, the biggest far and away comforter, seconds drugs, legal and illegal, to medicate you, to give you comfort, to tranquilize you, to not, because people can't handle their problems. The number one is entertainment. Everybody has to be entertained all the time because they cannot sit and think about their life. That's why the national average of television is raised to 5 hours plus a day now that a person watches it. Why? They can't be anywhere without their mind being taken away from just their thinking. That's why nobody sits anywhere anymore. It's always, if they don't got a TV, they got a smartphone. If they don't got a smartphone, they got a tablet. Why? To remove them from thinking about life because they don't have the comforter. I prefer the comforter. Comforter's batteries don't die. The comforter doesn't have side effects that are 16 pages long. Oh, listen, have the comforter, be filled with the Spirit. He lives inside of the believers when you're saved, the moment you accept Christ. And you do not get the Holy Spirit without being born again. That's what being born again is. You're born of the Spirit, John 3:6. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and you have a new man inside of you, and you're born again. And it's wonderful to have the comforter, the Holy Spirit. The comforter is not something to make you jiggle around and roll around and howl like a dog and laugh around and be silly and walk up and have somebody smack you in the head and see you're healed. Well, you got a headache now. You don't feel your pain in your ankle you had a minute ago. And all these things, that's not what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a person that works in you. He's not an emotion. He's not a tingle. He's a person. The comforter is expedient that Jesus goes away, because if Jesus doesn't go away, then the Holy Spirit will not come to live inside of you. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will be always able to teach and guide you. Remember, Jesus had taught them everything, but Jesus is going away. But with the teacher inside of you, anywhere you can go, if they lock you in prison and Jesus isn't there, you got the Holy Spirit with you. No matter where you go and no matter what happens, you got the teacher inside of you. If a false prophet comes and Jesus isn't there to say, no, that's not true, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the Bible. It's very specific on that. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at verse 25, though. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, when he has come, he'll teach you all things. And he'll be inside of you, and he'll not leave you. You'll always have a teacher. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will teach you. He'll teach you. He will show you that God lives inside of you. Chapter 15 and verse 27. And it says, and ye also shall bear witness to me, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And then he goes down and he says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15, all things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You understand, they're not going to be missing any truth because Jesus isn't there anymore. He's going to show them all things. The Holy Spirit will. The Bible says we know we're saved because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. This person lives inside of us. He's revealing himself very clearly. I knew someone was in there when I got saved. That Holy Spirit started teaching me the Bible, and he'll lead and guide us into all truth. We can understand the scriptures. We can understand the truth of God we need. You would be amazed. God has a message for this church. And I've got to be that person. And my will is not to preach what I want to preach. My will is to just be a messenger of what he wants to preach through this body. You'd be shocked how the Holy Spirit so clearly tells me, preach on this. And I have no idea what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know every problem in the church. I don't know what happened to you this week. But I'll come in here with the Holy Spirit saying, preach on this subject. And for example, last week I preached on bitterness. And how many people came, several people came to me and said, boy, that was very timely. Strange you should preach on that. That's what people say sometimes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's inside of you, knows you. He's inside of me and says, preach on this. That's why you think, Pastor, you hide in my closet? Nope. One, that's weird. Number two, I don't have time. Number three, I'm barely keeping myself straight. I don't got time to fix you all the time and stand in your closet and say, Saga. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on, though. The Holy Spirit knows. I always laugh sometimes. You're preaching on me. I know it. Well, yes, in a sense, I am. Not because I knew it. Always, yeah. But I know when you jerk up all of a sudden. See me this week, Rob Banks. Then I know. And we got you down then. And then I go, oh, brother, you better tithe. I mean, you better not do that. But we only preach on it. It's the Holy Spirit. And he'll bring messages to my mind. He'll change the message. He'll say this, talk about this, don't talk about this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. He teaches us the Bible. You'll be in darkness and struggling, not know what to do, and you'll pray, Lord, help me know what to read in the Bible. And you read a passage that tells you exactly what you need. Because the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. He'll help you understand the Bible. He's the teacher. He'll be able to lead you and guide you, and he'll be there with you always. You won't have a problem hearing his voice like they might have with Jesus sometimes. If I go away, he'll the Holy Spirit come and he'll teach you all these things that I want you to know. All the things that I have, he's going to give them to you. You're not going to be left out of truth. Why is it so great to have the Holy Spirit? Because he will change you from the inside. We touch on this, but let me go to Romans 8. He will teach you from the inside. Romans 8. Verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And then go down a little farther about how the Holy Spirit helps us. Verse 13, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we see here that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We see in verse 12, he will help you mortify your mortal bodies. In other words, put your body to death to make you control yourself, to make you die to yourself. You know, some of you say, I can't stop doing this. Say, Lord, show me how to stop being under control of the flesh. Help me to die to myself. Help me to die to my flesh and what I want to do. And the Holy Spirit will show you how. He'll help you. He will start bringing things in your life that will help you die to yourself. I want to say this. There is a level where you can change and start stopping things you did and kind of just get rid of things that aren't that important to you and get rid of some issues in your life and things like that. But there comes a point where the thing you got to change is you. And all of a sudden, it's just your very character. It's a fault in you. And you will find you'll get stopped dead right there. If you're lazy, you always go back to lazy. If you are mean, you'll go back to mean. If you are bitter, you'll go back to bitter. It's just something that you got wounded as a child. It's something you learned. It's something in your character. If you can't control your lust, if you're a person who cannot come out of yourself and be kind to people and say kind things, whatever you are, you'll come back to. And then you got to say, God, you've got to make me die to me, because this is me. It's not a sin I do anymore. It's who I am. Oh, Lord, your Holy Spirit's got to help me mortify the deeds of the body. And he'll do it. He'll start bringing things along that'll help you. He'll start showing you how. You'll get the answers. You've got that person inside of you that can work from the inside to change you. This verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know where you're saved. Verse 15, he puts a desire to pray. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. A strange thing the Holy Spirit does, he makes you have a longing for your Father in heaven. You become his child, and all of a sudden, you get this longing to say, oh, Father, I need you, Father. Things happen in your life where you need a daddy again. A heavenly Father. And your Father may not be here, he may be here, but you all of a sudden get this spirit of adoption in your heart, the Spirit brings. It says, Abba, Daddy, Father. He puts a longing in you for the Father and draws you to the Father, and you start wanting God more than you want life. That's the Spirit working in you and doing all these works. He helps you to pray because you don't know what to pray for as you should. We pray a bunch of dumb prayers, selfish prayers, prayers that are bad. We don't know what to pray for even. It says later here in Romans 8, it says verse 26, likewise the Spirit also help with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You go out and you pray, Lord, help me to win the Powerball. And the Holy Spirit sits up there and says, Father, we know he's praying something that would destroy him. And it's bad for him. He wants to be content is what he's praying for. He thinks I'm going to make him content. We know that won't happen. So we've got to go and make him content. So Father, he prays to learn contentment. I think the way to do that is to ruin his health for a little while and make him realize how good he has it right now. And so your health goes away for a little while and you come back and say, oh God, just get my health back. I've been so gripey and discontent. I wanted millions. All I want is just good health and food and a roof over my head and I'll be fine, Lord. And all of a sudden that happens and God answered your prayer to win the lottery because you didn't know what to pray for. That didn't go over good. You wanted the lottery, didn't you? But you know what? You're rich if you're happy with what you have. And you're poor if you have great riches and aren't happy with what you have. Ain't a number in your bank account that makes you rich. If you have trillions of dollars and you're not happy with what you have, which most rich people aren't, it's always the funniest thing to watch athletes. And they always say you enter a new strata of people And all of a sudden you look around and say, well, I have this money, but I can't. Those guys got big yachts. I can't afford a big yacht. That's just the human condition. Being rich is being content with what you have. Pretty soon you say, give me a roof over my head, food in my stomach, clothes enough to wear, and kids healthy. I'm good. I'm happy. Listen, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. That's what great, you know, the Holy Spirit, he keeps us from praying dumb prayers. He interprets our prayers because we don't know what to pray for as we should. You pray for your boss to die. You say, oh, Lord, get that guy. And God says, you know, the Holy Spirit says he's praying for love. Let's show him how to love people unconditionally. It's what he needs. The Holy Spirit helps us in so many ways we never see. You will also, the Holy Spirit's important that he comes because you will now have access to his full power. Acts chapter 1 says this, the great verse 8, what a wonderful verse. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, to be filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 3, it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and they sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter began to preach in verse 38. It says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and unto your children, to all of them afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. What happened when he preached? Verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I want to tell you, there's a great power that comes to the Holy Spirit, a supernatural power that gives us influence, that changes lives, that makes a difference, that convicts the sinner, that brings it, that chases the sin away. The power of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. It's all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It gives you power to fulfill the Great Commission, the power to witness for Christ, the power to change your own life, the power to make a shy person a bold witness for Christ, the power to see souls saved, the power to see people who are in the bondage of sin be delivered. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives, to make a difference in lives. When I was a teenager, I heard a message. It was called This Kind. And it was about the power of the Holy Spirit and praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. And God says in Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour my Spirit upon dry ground. And I began to look around and see the teenagers that I knew and my friends, my family that needed saved and that were in sin and how they didn't even know their need. And I longed for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I began to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. And my friend, Brother Roman, we began to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit and ask God to do a mighty work. Now, I got all the Holy Spirit, the whole person inside of me when I was saved, but he didn't get all of me. I had an indwelling, but I didn't have to have a fullness in my life. The Holy Spirit was there, but he was just a person inside of me. I was not full of the Holy Spirit. I began to beg God and I began to pray and say, God, I need your power. And the Bible says in Luke 11:13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them and ask him? Listen, Jesus said, I've been around, I've cast out demons, I've healed the sick, I've gone and seen lives change, I've had wicked women who are possessed, now the most faithful servants, I've seen lives change, I've seen souls impacted, I've seen people fall on their face and weep, I have power, and if I go away, you'll get that power. And the Holy Spirit will come inside of you. And you'll now have access to that power 24/7 whenever you want to yield yourself to it, whenever you want to have the power of God as I prayed as a teenager and begged God and begged God and prayed, and so, Lord, give me power, we saw amazing things begin to happen in our teenagers and throughout our whole church. Teenagers coming out of nowhere wanting to serve God. Teenagers whose hearts were stirred to serve God, and suddenly they meet us and say, that's what I want. And they became soul winners. They became on fire for God. We began to preach. We began to have influence. We began to bring people to church. We began to see people's lives change. By the way, my wife, who wasn't serving God, who was just going to church, a nominal Christian, wanting to be on fire for God, started serving God. Brother Roman's wife came to church, started serving God. And our little youth group went from 6 or 8 to 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, and grew. And pretty soon on our soul winning night, we'd have 35 or 40 teenagers going out soul winning, witnessing. They'd be in nursing homes every week preaching in the nursing homes. They were bringing their families, and their families are being saved. Great impacts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Seeing God working and doing great things. See, when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, Jesus says, you're going to like this. When I go away, you're going to get the power of Almighty God dwelling in you. And if you'll let that Holy Spirit work in you, he'll not only change you, but you can work through you and begin to see an impact in people around you. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what happens? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. The fruit of the Spirit begins to work, that great power in your life, and fruit begins to come out of your life of love. And you begin to love the unlovable and love the sinner. Joy that passes all understanding that no man can explain. Peace that calms every storm and that can handle anything life brings and say it's going to be okay. Long-suffering, a patience, and these fruits come out of you because the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. No wonder Jesus said it's expedient that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come live inside of you. You've got to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's awesome. It's great. The problem is many of us aren't full because we've quenched the Holy Spirit. You poured water on him. You've grieved him, it says. When the Holy Spirit was inside of you and working in your life and changing you and speaking to you, you started resisting, which the Bible says we can do. You put out the fire. You watched things and listened to things and filled your life with things that grieve the Spirit of God. And you put the fire out. You used to long for his power, and now you don't. He says, do this, and you said, no. But that power is still inside of you. The person's still there. You've got the access to that power. You just got to long for it and thirst for it and ask for it. And be filled with the Spirit. It's a command of God. If it was automatic, you wouldn't have been commanded. He never commands you to be indwelt with the Spirit, to let him live inside of you. That happens in salvation automatically. He commands you to be filled with the Spirit. And that means letting him fill you up and use you and come upon you and make a difference in lives. Boy, it's awesome to have the Holy Spirit. He makes a difference in us from the inside out. He changes us. He comforts us. He fills us with the presence of God. He teaches us. He helps us pray. And he fills us to do service for God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me, poured out his Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives, to do all kinds of wonderful works for God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, good thing I'm going away. No! We need you with us. No, no. When I go away, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and everything I've taught you, he's going to teach you and bring back. He's going to use you. He's going to fill you. He's going to be inside of you. He's going to give you all these things. And greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. The Holy Spirit. Oh, he's awesome. I'm coming back. Just mean the Holy Spirit inside of you. I want to say today, if you're not saved, you do not have the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you're saved, if you've been born again, if you know heaven's your home, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. But are you yielding and letting the power flow through you? Are you letting him work in your life? Are you letting him change you? Are you asking him to help you to have victory? Are you Father, fill me with the Spirit. May the Spirit help me die to myself. Father, please, may the Spirit move in my life. May you flow through me. Give me power to make an influence and a difference. May your Spirit flow through me to my family. Begging for the Spirit's power. That's what the Spirit will do for you. Isn't it awesome? Jesus went away so we could let the Spirit live inside of us and always be there. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, there's a lot of passages here in John 14, 15, 16, Romans 8, other passages we could read about the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray today we would enjoy this wonder that we're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives inside of each of us. Jesus, via the Spirit, lives in our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to access the almighty power, omnipotent power of God dwelling in us. Help us not to grieve that Spirit that's in us. Quench Him. Help us to just yield and help us to take advantage of having Him inside of us. He's there to work with us and help us. He's You, Father, You, God, who wants to be working in us, already lives in us. I pray today if somebody's not saved, they'd be saved. They'd accept Jesus and His way of salvation so they can get this wonderful Holy Spirit. May we be comforted and get the joy and peace and long-suffering from the Holy Spirit. May we just reap the harvest of having the Holy Spirit inside of us. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.